from the 915 to H-Town, from the Panhandle Plains to the Valley, and everywhere in between. This is the 5050 Podcast, powered by the 5050 Podcast Network. Join me, Hector Cano, as we cover the Texas high school club and college soccer landscape, along with an inside look at the college soccer recruiting scene. The 5050 Podcast is a platform about the people and for the people who are dedicated to the beautiful game. Here we go. It's another edition of Inside Texas High School Soccer, episode 12. It is our first edition of the Champions Edition, a 4A special edition. And I guess we got our returning champions, right? We got the Salina Lady Bobcats in the house, along with my great co-host, Mr. Hollywood himself, Rafa Castorena. We're joined by Coach Alexander Adams, along with State MVP Grace Pritchard and the All-State, All-Everything goalkeeper for the Lady Bobcats, Caitlin Gustafson. Guys, how are you?
Good.
Good.
I'm great.
good, and great. Wow, nothing phases this group. Awesome. Rafa, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Great weekend. Yeah. A la Madrid. So
there you go. I was waiting for that. I knew you were going to get that in there somewhere. I was waiting for that. So awesome. So, hey, thank you for everybody for being here, for joining us. Coach, third in a row. Thoughts, where do we begin? Just three-peat. How are things, man? How are things going?
Yeah, you know, this was a special year. You know, I think, just kind of looking back on the season and, you know, digesting – everything finally, you know, that happened. It really was a tale of two, I guess two different seasons, almost in a mm-hmm. sense, you know, that how the team started off and how we had to kind of figure out what it was that was going to make what we could do the best work, but also go and win games. It took a little bit of time, and you know, to have a team just start all over and expect to go and win state again, I think was as a coach, you're optimistic that that's going to happen. But if it didn't happen, I wasn't going to be super disappointed, because you know, we had a brand new young team, and to know what these girls did to buy into the season and the leadership from, you know, people like Caitlin and Grace and McKenna and Brooklyn and to just go out and persevere. And, you know, the second part of the season where it kind of felt like we turned it around and said, man, we may have something here after all, that was something really cool and special. And I think the girls agree that this is something that will just be very memorable, because I think this was the first time where I really felt like the team as a whole earned it. And I say that not to go against any of the other teams that have won state, but if you look back, you know, the first year we've obviously had a prolific goal scorer in Taylor Z there. And then, you know, when you, the next year you have four girls that go off to college and as freshmen, you know, start and make impacts in every single program that they were in, you know, that's goes to show that we had something really special there last year, and to start all over from all that is just really made this season just remarkable.
Yeah. So, you know, we look at it, the interesting thing, I guess you could say, when I look back on you all this year, you know, in year one, for not year one, but your first year there, right? Your first state title, you win it in an absolute classic, right? Versus Midlothian Heritage, which I'm on record as saying is probably the best match I've seen since the pandemic, regardless of classification, regardless of gender, right?
It's kind of funny not to interrupt, but we actually, that's what we watched to get juiced up for, really? For our playoff games and stuff. Yeah. We go watch that game again.
Yeah, I believe it. I've watched it plenty of times. I've probably watched it close to about 10 times probably, but now, so that was year one, right? And then last year you win it in a total different fashion, right? In a runaway, everybody was anticipating this great final, and you guys completely run away from Stephenville. And then this year it was kind of, so year one, let me go back to year one. It was kind of a classic that goes to penalties, runaway last year. And now this year you win it in a just old school in regulation, just drag out tough 1-0 final versus a great, great program in Bernie. Probably the two, you all in them, probably the two best, most consistent programs in 4A in the last 3 years. Was this one, how was this one different?
I just think the way that we earned it, you know, the way that, you know, as a lot of people probably heard, that we lost a couple of our starters, you know, really early off in the playoffs, towards the end of the district and the early part of playoffs. So to have different girls step up and have, you know, great games that would be the reason why we would win, you know, almost every single game that we won in the playoffs up until Grace and Taylor came back, it was a different girl every game that was taken over. If it wasn't Sammy, if it, you know, wasn't Ava, I mean, it, you know, it was just everybody just had a team effort. And I think that's really special. You know, I think as high school coaches out there, when you look at different teams and you see what their dynamic is, a lot of times you can pinpoint, okay, this girl, you know, and this player, is their superstar, right? If we can game plan around this particular girl, then I think we've got a good shot of winning. Or, you know, hey, they've got, you know, this really good midfielder and forward, and they really combine real easy, and we've got to make sure that, you know, we clog up the middle or whatever, you know, whatever the reason is. But when you have a team like ours this year, where no matter who's not playing, somebody steps up, is just, you know, it's just a fantastic, team dynamic. You know, it all started back whenever we played Louisville real early in the season, and we were out quite a few girls because of a couple showcases. And all of a sudden, this freshman that literally had just started playing select soccer a year ago, you know, she worked her tail off talking about Channing Simmons to make the team. And not only did she make the team, she made varsity. And she, you know, she goes out and scores the only two goals of the game that wins the game. And it just, that kind of just started what I didn't know to be, but what was going to be kind of the theme of the season, where we really had that team where no matter what was happening, people were going to will themselves to win. And it was just a, you know, another person up mentality, very selfless, very team oriented. We don't have a lot of girls that really focus on their stats or whatever. Obviously they want to do, you know, what's good for them, and it makes them look good for recruiting purpose and all that. But there really is that selfless mentality of, we will put what we're about over winning a state championship and celebrating together as a team. And you can tell on the bus rides home that's the case, because it's not just one little group of girls that are doing the celebrating. It's the whole team together. And that is something that makes us super special there in Salina.
Right. Right. So Grace, congratulations being named the MVP right at state. Mm-hmm. How does in the moment versus now, right? What has that been like for you? Is it just kind of all surreal, just kind of all runs together, still hasn't really hit you? What has that been like for you?
I don't really know. I don't think it's really hit me yet. During the game, right after the game, it was like, congrats, you're MVP. And I never would have ever thought I would be able to get that, because I've always seen my other teammates, Taylor and Lexi, for the past years get it. And I've always dreamed of getting it. But in the moment, like right after I scored, I didn't realize, like, at the very end of the game, I was like, I just scored. It's still surreal right now. During halftime, I was like, I'm gonna get a header goal. And I tried and tried and tried, and I finally got one, but I don't think it's really gotten to me yet, honestly.
Well, it was one heck of a goal. I'll tell you that. It was one unbelievable goal. So now here's the thing, right? You're a 2025. So you have one more year. You come back, right? Mm-hmm. So 3 years at Salina and three titles for you. Now you understand that it's not normal to necessarily win state titles every year that you're in high school, right? You get that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I do.
Awesome. Good deal. Rafa, you got anything?
Yeah, Grace, the season, you know, how'd you feel going into like the playoffs? You know, you had those key injuries and so forth. You know, how was the mentality of the team as far as preparation? You know, how'd you guys go into that? Because knowing you guys had to have a target on your back since the last 2 years, you know, every team's gunning for you. So how do you guys prepare for that?
One key saying that we kept in our minds was we're not defending a state championship. We're going for another one. We already won it. There's nothing can happen to the one we just won, but we're going out to win another one. And going into the playoff games, me personally, I was terrified. On the bench, I was scared. I obviously tore my PCL right before playoffs and mm-hmm. our hurdle race because I fell. But going back into my first game, it was really hard because I put a bunch of expectations on myself and I really wanted to be useful to the team because I didn't want them to put me on the field and I not be as useful. But I mean, obviously I'm not going to. It was like what? Jacksonville was my first game back and it was terrifying. Also watching from the sidelines. I mean, it was great cheering them on, honestly, but it was scary.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, and in case if you're watching this, in case you're wondering, no, Grace has not been kidnapped. She's calling from the parking lot of club practice. So just kind of speaks to the dedication. This coach, this is definitely becoming a trend, right? This is the second time in 3 years where one of your players is calling from the car in the parking lot of practice, club practice. So very awesome. Very awesome. We appreciate you making the time for us, Grace. Now, Caitlin, we move over to you. So, 3 titles in 4 years. You spent all 4 years there at Georgetown, right?
So I actually moved to Salina my sophomore year. So I've been
five on
in 3 years.
Okay. So, all right. Well, let me rephrase that. So all 3 years, right? Yes. So all 3 years you were there, right? So you moved in at the right time. So, you look back on your journey, right? And so much of it in terms of when I say your journey, we're talking about not just with your time there at Salina, but then even your recruiting piece, mm-hmm. right? The recruiting element, and you mix that all together. And then you're playing in the final game of the season and you win your third state title, mm-hmm. all the recent changes you've had to go on your recruiting journey as well. What was that like as a senior, as you're walking off the field for the last time, winning the state title?
To kind of go on even off what Grace said, it was definitely just surreal. I mean, it was something that we were fully prepared for coming in, that it wasn't going to be as easy as it has been the past couple of years. And me, Brooklyn, Kenna, just all 3 of the captains, we were ready to sit and pick the team up and have them ready to fight and keep reminding them that, yeah, we might have done this the past 2 years, but this is a different team. And so being able to finally, after setting that goal at the beginning of season, beginning of off season even, or even last year after the state game was over, and being able to accomplish that and leaving some sort of legacy and making history again is right. Definitely something that I'm proud of. And I'm proud of all of the girls and just all the fight that they show. Cause this wasn't just where, like how it was last year, where obviously it was still team efforts the past 2 years, but it was Lexi was the big key thing that got really shown. And same with Taylor the year. This was truly, out of the past 3 of the state's titles we've won, was definitely the most team effort that we had. Mm-hmm. It was everyone fighting, everyone working together, figuring out what needed to be fixed and what was working, what wasn't, the adjustments and just facing the adversity that was coming from with Grace getting hurt. We had Taylor go down, just random injuries that we faced and just pushing through that and knowing that as long as we rallied together that we were going to get through it. So being able to finally have accomplished that was definitely, it was definitely a good way to go out.
Right. Yeah. Rafa?
Caleb, so I looked at the stats, only given up 7 goals all season long. How did you feel about that accomplishment, and then just giving up, you know, just 3 in the playoffs?
Yeah, definitely a great feeling. I mean, I always strive for no goals, obviously, and even and my bigger problem is I'm very proud of myself for that and proud of the team, because that wasn't just me doing that. There was times where it was our defense helping with that too. I mean, even in the final, Sammy had a save that I wasn't able to get to and cleared it off the line. So I'm proud of myself and all of the girls who helped me accomplish that. But I mean, even last year, I'm so hard on myself. Even last year when we won 8-1, I was still upset about that one goal that went in, just because I strive to do better. And so at least this year I was able to go out after the 2 years of not being able to keep it a shutout. I was able to finish this year as a shutout. So I'm very, very happy with that and happy with myself for that, because I think that even stayed lower than last year. It was about even with last year's.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Coach, we talk about the last 3 years, right? So your third consecutive title, state title, was this one, and Caitlin hit on it a little bit there, but was this, I know they're all different in their own way, but was this one, or maybe you're too close to it still, but was this one the hardest? Because we talk about having to replace a Taylor Strzejewski after year one, after year two, Lexi Tweed, plus all the ones that you've already had that are now playing at the next level. But given all the dynamics, was this one maybe the hardest one? Because obviously you all started the season a little different this year. You guys put yourselves out there even more. And then, of course, district, you know, some of the results in district as well. Was this one maybe, I don't know if hardest is the right word, but for lack of better words, was this one the hardest?
I would like to maybe say, like, it was a little bit more challenging strategically. You know, that when you, you know, last year, when I go into the season, there I had absolutely zero worries, because we literally lost just two seniors, and we were bringing pretty much the team that just won the state championship back again. And I'll be honest, last year I was really confident that we were going to go and win it again, just because we had such a strong team. And to then go to this season where it's a total system reset, and we've got to figure out who can do what, you know, it was definitely challenging. You know, that it was definitely more effort into sitting down and analyzing film and seeing what was going right, to really contemplate what we were going to do in our sessions that would benefit the players that I thought could do what they could do, and work on that in-season development. You know, that's the one thing that I think every coach out there would agree, is that, you know, to bring a group of girls together, you know, regardless of, you know, if they play a club or don't play a club, right. To bring a group of girls right. together, or a team, I guess, had boys and girls, a team together that, you know, doesn't typically play together, and you have to get them prepared, you know, in just a few months to go out and compete against some of the top teams in the state of Texas is, I mean, that's hard, you know, it's a hard thing to do. So, you know, to sit there and have that task, but then also understand that, you know, we've got this certain expectation to live up to because of who's played there in the past, and to try to get some of that magic that those past players had into what you had presently, you know, it definitely takes a little bit more coaching, you know, in the sense of figuring out, you know, what's going to work. And I felt that, you know, through trial and error and, you know, input from, obviously from the players too, you know, Caitlin and McKenna and Brooklyn were very vital to coming up and saying, hey, you know, we think this is working, and this girl's getting this, and this girl, I don't think, understands that. And you know, that kind of feedback that you get from the players that sometimes maybe you miss too, also played into it. And I felt that, you know, once we did go out and win, I think that's why it felt a little bit more different than the other ones, just because it was a totally, you know, it was a totally new concept that we had to go and throw out there. And in the end, it worked.
Yeah. So next one here is for Grace and Caitlin. You look back, because this year looked so different, right, as both of you alluded to earlier, do you recall a moment, was there a moment, and if so, do you recall it, where you kind of, you're like, okay, where it's looking like this is a moment where it's all clicking, where I think we can really win it all again? Like, it could have been in a meeting, a players only meeting or something, right? But or maybe it was after a particular result, but do you recall having that moment where you had that validation, that confirmation for this year's team that, hey, this team can do it just like the last two?
You can start, Caitlin, because okay. I haven't seen
it. Probably the Aubrey game, because that game we were back and forth and they scored first against us. And so that was the first time we had ever been down a goal. And so last year, there was a game where we were down, I believe it was Maybank, and we were down a goal. I think it was the same round actually, but all of a sudden they had a goal that we didn't really agree on, but instead it was a goal.
That was the first time you all had been losing all year with that Maybank game.
And we had ever been down a goal to start with. We had been scored on randomly here and there, but that was the first time we'd ever been down. And so we had already gone through it. And last year we worked back together. We're like, hey, we need to pick it up. And this year we got scored on. All the girls kind of went into like a frantic mode of what if we're going to get knocked out. And so me, Brooke, and kind of just focused on, hey, we've been here before, we can get back. And so we went, we score. And so then we're 1-1 and then they get another one. So then we're down again and then we're able to tie it. And so it was definitely probably that game where I realized like, we got this, as long as we can come together, like we did there and work and put that effort in and fight like we did in that game, we'll be fine. Cause we ended up finishing that game. I think it was 5-2. Mm-hmm. So it just more showed that as long as we can still step up when it gets rough like that, we'll be good. And so I think that was probably the game for me that showed that we would be able to do it again.
Gotcha. Grace?
I think mine was when we played Panther Creek for the second time. Mm. First time we lost in PKs. And I think that really, I wouldn't say hurt us, but it definitely put a chip on our shoulders. So the second time we played them, everybody was back for revenge. And I don't know the score of that game, but 6-0.
Yeah. Okay,
well, there's that game. And that's when I wouldn't say opened my eyes, but that's when I like fully understood that this team has something special. It's a horrible way to go out by PKs. But after that, I knew the team had – we won revenge. So after that game, I really was like, we can go out and do it again.
Great stuff. Awesome. I'm a firm believer that there are moments, right, that where players and coaches kind of have those, right, those validation moments, right, those confirmation moments. And I'm always kind of curious, particularly from the player's perspective, if they ever see those moments, right, so or can recall those moments, I should say. Rafa, you got anything else for any of our panel here?
Yeah, as far as the teams you guys played, is there any one game in particular that was really like was some adversity, I don't think we're gonna get through this and so forth, but you're able to kind of pull through together, or any special moments like that, like you know that was kind of turning that really kind of sparked the team up to build that confidence to go into the playoffs.
Honestly, probably the Panther Creek game the first time, because that was our first time playing in district together. And I think we also had an issue of some of the returning girls. And I could even say it was probably one of me, more of a subconscious thing of, oh, well, we beat them this. I can't remember the scores from last year, but we beat them this much last year and this much. It shouldn't be that bad. And we kind of forgot that we're still a new team or whatever. And so probably the Panther Creek game, because that definitely was something that was it wasn't a setback, but it was definitely adversity, and all of us were kind of like, whoa. But I think it was also good for us because it shows that we can lose and it can happen, but we can also come back from it. And even there, it wasn't a true loss. It was there were mistakes made in that game of being unable to score, but we were still able to keep them shut down. Mm-hmm. But I think that was definitely a good kind of a good thing to kind of light a fire under us and kind of push us a little more and have the team knowing that it's not going to be as easy as it was last year. So I would think that game was probably our most impactful game, kind of pushing us through everything else.
Coach, Grace, anything else?
I'd say the same.
Yeah. Ditto. She went with ditto. All right.
So that's typical Grace, by the way. me personally, you know, being able to hang with Prosper, you know, we played Prosper for one of our scrimmages and
they did pretty well this year. I don't know if you're aware, but they did pretty well this year.
So to go and go 1-0 versus the girls state champion was pretty, pretty darn good. You know, I'll tell you, it was a very, hold on to your rear ends and you know we had a low block, a mid block, you know we had you know row block. I mean we had every single block in there that you could have to prevent them from scoring. And I think if I remember right, I think it was their their player Miller that just made this really sick run all the way across the field and hit like a 25, 30 yard just bullet into the back of the net. But it took something special against Prosper for them to score. And I remember at the end of the game, the coach came by and he said, "Man, you guys are a lot better than I thought you were. You guys are as advertised." So it was really cool to get that validation. You know, it's a preseason game. Both teams are playing girls, probably some more than typical in a typical competitive game, but still to go out there and compete with you know, one of the big dogs and hang out, you know, and just be part of the you know, part of the conversation with a wonderful program is you know, I thought was outstanding.
Yeah, no doubt. So, Coach, three years at Salina, right? You've been there all 3 years, three state titles. Man, if I'm you, I'm not leaving Salina. I'm not applying anywhere else. I'm not doing any. I'm staying there, right? Because I guess as long as you're there, right, just state titles just keep falling from the sky. So where do you go now from here? You're graduating another great class still, and you're still young. Of course, you have, you know, the reigning state MVP coming back. Of course, that's, which is all luxury in itself. But as we start to wrap up here, you know, where do you go from here? Because I know there now that you all are synonymous with state titles, just like your football program. So it's like, what's next? How do you follow it up? Right. Where do you go from here?
I think, you know, you just got to keep plugging away. Just, I think Caitlin really put it, it's actually Grace that put it the best word, you know, that we're not defending a state title. We're going to win another one, you know, that you really got to have that mentality of enjoying the celebration and closing the door and then moving on and training for the next one, because each season is different, you know, and each one has its ups and downs, and you really got to kind of just focus on the present and try to go out and do it again. I'll tell you, you know, from a town perspective, you know, every time I run into somebody in town, you know, if I'm running up to the grocery store or something, that, you know, everybody, you know, now knows, oh, that's Coach Adams. And they'll come up and say, "Hey, congratulations, great year." And you know, I've got random people coming up and, you know, because Salina is a pretty small town still, not for much longer, but to you know, have everybody kind of recognize you as the girls' soccer coach that goes and wins state titles, it is kind of starting to weigh a little bit heavier on you know, on the shoulders to have those, you know, those kind of expectations.
Well, the weight on the shoulders is you walking around with all those medals around town.
Yeah, right. That's what it is. You know, I actually, because you always give me stuff about it, I was wearing them. I even put my rings on.
There you go. Look at you.
Because hey, rings. I'm always told that I never show my stuff off. So
rings, where are we at with that? I know you guys plugged something, posted something a few days ago. Is it done? Is it finalized? It's in the works. Where are we at with it?
Caitlin, I'll let you take that one.
Okay. We're almost there. We're still getting some of the stuff like tweaked, like color wise, but I think there's only like one or two things we kind of need fixed. But besides that, we're pretty much, they're ready at least to get our orders in and stuff. Sadly, I won't be here to get them. I'll be able to make it back, but it's okay.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. Well, hey, as we start to wrap up here, really want to thank you all again. Thank you so much. And Rafa is going to display here for you one of the things for winning state. What you'll have, it'll be in the mail, is our new 2.0 version of our scarf there, Coach. So which we share with all our state champions, right? So that will be in the mail, and man, you're going to start collecting some 50-50 podcast scarves there. So I hope you got it somewhere there in the locker room or in the office or something, but
I do. In my room.
Awesome. So that will be in the mail for sure. And as we get ready to go, just kind of wanted to give you guys, as far as our stoppage time, final thoughts, shout outs, thank yous, anything you want to share. We'll start with the state MVP there. We'll start with Grace. Grace.
Okay. I would love to thank the captains this year. They were a huge impact to the whole playoff run, the whole district, everything. Really going to miss them. Shout out to my parents. They make me go to everything, even when I sometimes say I don't. They're like, "Well, you agree to it." So they keep me accountable. And lastly, I'd like to thank my therapist, my physical therapist. He's great. I go a lot, and he really helped me get back to the level that I needed to be back at. So would love to thank him.
Great stuff. Awesome. Well done. And yeah, that's a key piece in the story that we really didn't get into, Grace, but you overcoming that PCL injury. So that's such a great story in itself, and you coming back and being awarded the state MVP and scoring an unbelievable goal. So well done. Well done.
Thank you. Grace is going to make me cry. I'm so thinking about the fact that I'm not going to be coming back. I mean, I don't think about that. I would like to definitely thank the team and just being able to work. And I know there were times where they didn't like the captains and stuff, but working with us and still listening to us, even when I know there were plenty of times I didn't want to. Thank my parents for supporting me through all of this and through a lot of the adversity I faced when I was dealing with the whole recruiting thing that went on there. And honestly, thank the town just for always rallying around us when we win these. I mean, every time we come back, we get our whole police escort and they'll have the fire truck and just they all come to kind of greet us coming off the bus and stuff and just the town celebrating with us. And then I think that's it.
Yeah. Good deal. Awesome. Great stuff. Headed to McMurray. McMurray's definitely lucky. They're going to get themselves a great goalkeeper, Caitlin. So we wish you the absolute best of luck.
Thank you.
And coach, we're going to wrap up with you.
All right. Well, I just want to, say thank you to the Salina community. Obviously, thank you to my girls, except you, Charlie. I'm just kidding. So thank you to, all athletes at athletic administration, everybody that was involved with the team this year, the community, our administration and at the school, our superintendent. I mean, everybody's just been so supportive over these past 3 years, and I can't thank the town of Salina enough for that. I want to thank my kiddo Olivia for understanding that daddy's going to have some long nights, but he'll eventually get there and spend a lot of time with her when he can. So now that we're in the off season, we get to hang out a little bit more. And of course, my wife, I know sometimes maybe she enjoys my company and sometimes maybe she's sad that soccer season's over with.
I know.
She loves me. I know she loves me. But it's really, really important to recognize, the sacrifice that my family makes through the season. And, just want to really, really emphasize that. And and last but certainly not least, Mr. Tasco recognition for his podcast, Mr. Hector Cano. Okay. Thank you, sir, for doing what you do, man. You and Rafa got such a great thing going here, and I can't thank you enough for what you guys do. This is so wonderful to be able to sit down and listen. I'll be honest, guys. Not that you put me to sleep, but sometimes I'll just listen to you guys until I cut off. And you know what I'll do, honestly? And this is, I swear, this is what I'll do, is it like I'll go put one on that I've already listened to. So I know like I'll kind of listen to it, but not listen to it as hard as like a new one. You know what I mean? And so sometimes, is that weird to admit that I fall asleep listening to you guys? I don't know.
Hey, I have that effect on people. Apparently I put people to sleep. So,
thank you guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. Really appreciate you. Thank you. And I mean, you all are just, you all have entered, dynasty mode at this point. So Caitlin on her way out, Grace coming back for her senior year. Coach Adams, if I'm the athletic director at Salina, I'm not letting him leave ever, right? So we just keep winning state titles there. So just want to congratulate you all. Really thank you. Thank you for your time as well. But I know this is beyond just you three that are here. This is the entire team. Obviously, your athletic department, right? Trainers, so many people, the faculty, staff there, the parents, the community. So really just you all are onto something just very special. And I hope your community really embraces that and appreciates that. And we appreciate you all being here. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Thank you. Have a good night, guys. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you. Bye-bye. All right. Good deal. Awesome. So Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Wouldn't expect anything less. Coach Adams, man, really. This is, I think, his, what, fifth or sixth time, Joe? He might have the green jacket now, man, for most visits on the podcast. So really appreciate him. Really appreciate, again, Caitlin Gustafson, goalkeeper for the Lady Bobcats, as well as Grace Pritchard, the reigning state MVP. So great stuff. And don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back with our 4A boys state champion, the Sanelli Eagles. We'll be right back after this quick word from our partners. Looking to step up your social media marketing game? Well, let us tell you about our great friends at Gipper. Gipper is a way that schools, athletic departments, ADs, and coaches create world-class marketing content. Join over 4,000 coaches, ADs, SIDs, and club directors who use Gipper to create high-quality visual branded graphics for your program. The best part? Anyone can do it in seconds on any device without needing any design experience whatsoever. If you do have significant design experience, you're going to love this as well, as you are what they call the power user, and this is designed with you in mind as well. And just for being a listener and supporter of the 50/50 podcast, you can receive savings immediately and save 10% off any first-time Gipper purchase. Simply visit gipper.com/partner/5050 to learn more. Again, that's gipper.com/partner/5050. And then there are our great friends at Global Scarves, both Bill and Kyle. They are the top providers of custom knitted scarves, beanies, and other fan merchandise in the U.S. All merch is fully custom with free design services and free shipping on all orders. They do so much more, guys, than just scarves. Blankets, beanies, you name it, it's all designed and all customized to your specifications and needs. You can contact them at info@globalscarves.com to get any free designs or quotes built out for your school, club, or maybe even a supporters group. Simply mention the podcast or use the code #5050pod and they will be sure to take care of you. All right, and we are back. And special thanks, shout out Ken Murphy. Ken, I know you did put in some couple of questions here, but unfortunately, we had to let the Salina crew go. So we'll definitely try to recycle these and see if we can get some of your answers there. So, and thank you for the shout out there. Appreciate you, Ken. So, all right, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna bring in our next champions here, joining us for the 4A edition of the champions. All right, they are the pride of San Elizario, the Sanelli Eagles. Coach Max Seppenfeld. Coach, how are you, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
Awesome. And who do we have here joining us with you?
This is Steven Scheides.
Steven, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, and you?
Good, doing great. Thank you for being here. Hey, we're excited to have you here. And really grateful for you all. And I mean, you're joining us from the what do they call it again, Coach? The City of Champions, or what do we call it out there again, out in Sanelli? Soccer state titles, cross country state titles, number four, fourth title there that you bring to the Sanelli boys program. Has that even sunk in yet, Coach?
Sure. I mean, it's a lot easier to think about those things once you get off the bus and you've spent a week back in normal mode. It's a grind for, 3 weeks. You know, it must be nice when we get home with our police escort and our fire trucks. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. And yeah. Only the most hardy of our community show up. This year we had a pretty good crowd, maybe about 40 guys, 40 people showed up, and it's always nice. But what is Salina, about 2 hours from Austin?
Yeah, I imagine I'd say three. Yeah,
three
still pushing three at least. I imagine
home for dinner.
It's on that northern end. So yeah, you got to get on the other side there. But yeah, I remember I did say that on our last episode, right, when you guys won. Y'all won state, and it's like, hey, congratulations. They won a, 8.5-9 hour drive back home from Georgetown. So, and that's the thing too. It's like, people always talk about schools out in West Texas, greater El Paso area in particular. And I just say, it's like, hey, they're road warriors. They're battle tested. They're used to the travel at this point. So that's the thing about El Paso schools. They don't even factor that in at this point. Would you agree with that, Coach? Your thought? You've been doing this long enough. What would you say?
You know, people have often approached that problem as a disadvantage. And we totally reframed it. It took well, the first state champion effort was 2015. And we realized right away that the bus was an opportunity. It really was an opportunity to impact their diet, to affect their hydration, to affect their sleep. Kids can sleep on a bus, and oftentimes they're sleeping better on that bus than they sleep at home, where they have all of their distractions. Then put them in a hotel, assuming that you've developed the culture of discipline required to actually stay in a hotel. You can improve the physiology of your team over the course of 3 weeks. We've seen that over and over. The kids eat well. Of course, we're monitoring their diet, controlling their diet. Very, very intentional what we put in our bodies over those 3 weeks. And it works. And we have a pretty good record.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, I would definitely say pretty good. Steven, so from your perspective, right, bringing back that state title back home, what has that been like? You know, it's been a couple of weeks. How much of that has, you know, it's the constant pat on the backs, the congratulations, have you really had a chance to really process the year that was?
You know, when the game ended, I had about three interviews. I had the same question of how it felt, the records that we broke. And I would say still to this point, it still hasn't kicked in. I'm not going to lie. But seeing after all, seeing the trophies go in the trophy cases, the medals being worn, the rings being measured and ordered, and seeing the crowd that you have behind your back, you can finally feel it. The support, just to be even on here as reading this, the 4A boys state champions. Feels like we finally accomplished what we worked so hard in these 4 years.
Right. I mean, right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, great. So now you mentioned that, right? So we got to go there because we just had that conversation with Salina, right? Is the rings. Where are we at with that, Coach Steven? Were we all done, all set?
You got to ask him. Yeah, you got to ask him.
Sure. Well, you know what's really cool? So there's this ring manufacturer in town. And, you know, we got to know him pretty well, right?
Yeah.
it's, you know, the cross-country guys, they're measuring rings six times, right? In that span there between 2015 and what they won their last one, I think a couple years ago, the guy just left the ring measuring tool. He just said, you know what, in 2019, the guy just said, here, just keep this in your desk. We know you're going to use it again. And actually that thing has been on my desk for 5 years. Well, yeah, 19 to 20, 20, 21. So it's anybody was right. And there it was. And it's a pretty interesting little tool. You know, people look at it, they think it's a musical instrument. They don't know what it is. And, but there it is. And, you know, we own it, we have it, and we got it out last week and started measuring for rings, and we're working on that. We're getting it done. We have our sponsor, Fred Loya. Thank goodness. Awesome. That guy is a very generous man. Fred Loya has bought all of the state championship rings, except that very first year we had an alumni buy him, an oil guy, but, Fred Loy has stepped up because that's an expensive deal for a community like ours. Very expensive.
Yeah.
30 rings.
Right. So tell us, what is that process like, Steven? You guys you're getting fitted. You're trying to, everyone's arguing about, no, we should do this. No, not like, and then Coach eventually has to step in, right? Coach eventually has to step in.
Yeah, I don't even open that door.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I don't even open the door.
Yeah.
I think I may have shown Steve.
What is that? How much say do you even give them, Coach? How much?
Do you like this? And, you know, yeah. Do you
option,
like this?
Option A, option B. Is that it, Steven? Is that all it was? Or not even, well, B?
Honestly,
even
I feel like he gives me plenty of say, but yeah. I mean, he's the final choice. Yeah.
Right.
I'm always right there.
This thing has been such a, you know, we're classroom teachers. I don't know. That gets kind of lost in this whole show. You know, we're classroom teachers. I know you're a classroom teacher.
Yeah.
And we've been out of the class now for 3 weeks, and we've got star testing right now. And our admins, you know, counting on us to do our jobs. And we've got, you know, I've got 140 freshmen and another 30 upperclassmen, and they haven't seen me for some time. They kind of like it because they don't get a whole lot of work from the substitutes. But, you know, there's a lot of things to do when you get back from being on the road for 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, my squad, we made it into the area round, and it was it was a long season and there was a lot to do, right, once we were finally done. So I could only imagine if you make it all the way to Georgetown and you're playing in the state final, I could only imagine. So again, congratulations to you all on that front. So Coach, we look back at the state tournament, right? The state tournament in itself, right? Semifinal versus Navasota against a very talented Navasota squad. And then a final versus Bernie, a very special, an equally special program to you all, right? You look back on those two, the semifinal versus the final, Navasota and Bernie. How did those two stack up? And, you know, what did you learn from that semifinal to that final versus Bernie?
You know, I don't know what we learned. But I can tell you that obviously they're both great teams, and they were different. They were different types of teams. Both of them could have beaten us for sure. You know, soccer is that sport. You know, what I really liked is what we learned about our team, what we learned about our team in those moments. We struggled. We struggled with some issues. You know, people just don't know, and they're most likely, you know, we're not going to share a whole lot. But we struggled. We struggled with some character issues. We struggled with some physical issues. And what we learned about our team was that we could change for the better. We could affect change. We could have those serious talks in that locker room and, you know, and front up and say, look, kid, you know, we need to make these changes. You're going to make these changes. And this is going to have an impact. And we made those changes. I have to tell you, we made some amazing progress in character just in our last three games. You talk about the state semifinal and the state final. Our backs were up against the wall in the region final when we were looking at our district rival, whom we had only scored a couple goals on. They'd taken us to PKs the first time we played them in league. The second time, we barely scored a couple goals in the last few minutes of the game. And they're just so hungry. They've got 13 seniors, and they're just gunning for us. And here I am. We're going to play them without our leading scorer, several injured midfielders. We're wondering, well, who's going to score a goal for us? That great defense of mine was intact, but who's going to score? And you know, we'd had some issues. We had the cards in the region semifinal, and we pulled it out.
Yeah,
that was a tense moment, and we grew from there on. We didn't have the problems, the character problems, the cards, the silly behavior in the state semifinal and the final. And that was great to see us learn in that regard.
Yeah, and you talk about your regional final, Coach. And I knew, being from that area, right, which you and I discussed recently, being from that area, I knew that my personal take on that was when I saw that you all were going up against Riverside, right, El Paso Riverside in that final, that I knew that was going to present a tricky matchup for you all, right, seeing them once again on top of that. So, but I had that feeling that if you all could figure that one out, that taking nothing away from whoever you were going to see in the state semifinal, that you all would most likely be in the final. And then, and as you know, right, I was, and Rafa is my witness, I was kind of screaming for my dream matchup between you all and Bernie since probably maybe the end of January, somewhere in there. And, I was just really praying to God that they wouldn't pair you all up in the semifinal, at the state tournament. You talk about that final versus Bernie from your perspective, and Steven, even from your perspective, what was your take on how that game played out?
Go ahead, Steve.
I would say just the nerves before the game. I think we had everybody really relaxed, the music in the locker room, us dancing around, get your boys loose. And for us to finally go out and be in the field that we saw our alumni three state championships ago, to finally play in it again, you just got to be grateful. And you see these other boys, they're huge boys, they're muscular, but then you look at our guys, we have great touch, we know how to run, we know how to pass, so you just got to trust your teammates. I was really confident in our game. And once we got comfortable with the ball, I saw what we really had, and I trusted my team, what we can do.
Coach, I would have liked to have seen an earlier goal. As many times, as we opened up their goal and had a clear opportunity, I would have certainly would have been a lot easier. Of course, once you have that 1-0 lead, whatever it is, if it's 5 minutes, if it's 20 minutes, those 5 minutes become the longest 5 minutes of your life.
Right.
You know, we scored, I think, with 20 minutes left, perhaps, and 18 minutes left. And that was the longest, of course, mm-hmm. in your life. And suddenly, all you know, the other team comes to life and the ball's bouncing around in front of your goal. I'm not sure they actually got a clear shot, but I, you know, you don't need one. The ball bounces, right?
Right.
So we were really, really grateful for the opportunity. I need to kill my phone real quick. And, but yeah, I mean, the final was just great. I mean, we could play soccer against that team. You know, they had their thing. We had our thing. Obviously our thing is defense. I mean, we just don't give teams an opportunity.
Right.
Steve, a lot of people don't know this, but Steve could have been that guy from Bernie who was blocking all those shots, but we never see it because we've got the Texas Defender of Player of the Year from Texas High School Coaches Association. You know, Matthew Hernandez, we've got a first team All-State guy who chose to stay in high school this year instead of go UPSL or whatever it is, USL, Marco Legarda. You know, we got guys that just don't let people shoot. You know, we went through 24 games, right? 24 game winning streak. 3 goals were scored against us, 2 against Steven. And there are games where people don't even shoot. They don't get a shot. And so one of the things I was worried about was, wow, have we really been tested? And you talk about learning things. I was concerned because I didn't know how my team was going to respond to adversity. I always love to play teams that are undefeated because I feel like they don't know. They haven't felt enough pressure, and we're going to pressure them. And we're going to take advantage of the fact that we have experienced adversity. But this team, my team, we didn't get our starting lineup on the field until midway through the year. And then it was capiretada for another half a season. And we were finally getting our best 11 on the field. And even then in the playoffs, we weren't even able to get our best 11. I felt like I was manipulating an English Premier League, you know, lineup of 20 guys trying to figure out, well, who's ready today? Who's not broken.
Yeah.
But we demonstrated the ability to deal with adversity. I think our big test was that region semifinal when it was 0-0 against Castleberry. And we picked up like 5 yellow cards and a red card. And that was our adversity. And I think we grew from there.
Right.
We didn't lose, obviously. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah. But yeah. That was a Castleberry squad that Rafa was very big on since early in the year. So, Rafa, anything?
Yeah, for Steven, you know, last year you guys felt 2 games short, you know, going to the final. What was the big difference this year, you know, finally, you know, getting to the championship and winning it all? Like I said, you lost a tough one last year in the semifinals to Hidalgo, who won the state title, and coming in this year. What was the big difference here?
Definitely. Man, it's a tough one. Just Hidalgo was, when they blew that first whistle, that was probably one of the best teams I've seen play in my high school career. All their players were really talented, and they knew how to – they didn't know how to open up the goal just because our defense was so they didn't give them opportunities. So we did have a couple of weak links in our defense, and I think once we finally found our starter and then our other starter for the right wing, there wasn't really much that other teams could compete with us. And dealing with Navasota, that was kind of like a flashback to Hidalgo, the same type of touching team. They know how to run. They know how to touch. And it was almost like deja vu. Last 2 minutes, a penalty, but just it wasn't against us this time. It was against them. Just for us to relive that moment and to, I guess, get our revenge being on that
field. Be on the other side of that.
Yeah, not to lose and be crying. You're
very emotional.
Yeah, I was about to say.
you were very
crying, not tears of sad, but tears of happiness. I mean, just unbelievable.
That heaviness off the shoulder lifted off.
Oh, it was just like a relief. It was a relief.
Yeah.
And I feel like, the last year, having that ball in your hand slip out and hit the pole, and then you see your defenders go down crying, I just couldn't let that happen again. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't let that happen again.
Yeah,
you weren't going to let that happen. You know, like I said, I think Steve can come up with those world-class saves. Last year, he had a torn meniscus, and he played through it. He played half the season with a torn meniscus. His knee would lock, and I'd see him toss his leg strangely to unlock his knee.
Right.
And it's amazing what this kid was willing to do to his body last year. The difference between last year's team and this year's team is goals. We scored 110 goals this year. No San Elizario team has scored 110 goals. We typically give about 20 a year, and we score about 40 or 45. I tend to call off the dogs in those games where you're playing, the charter school or whoever it is that's brand new to the league that just put a team together. I don't tend to allow my team to run up scores, so I'm pulling my guys off. I like to train my players. The next day, if we've got a game that we're going to win easily, we pull off the dogs and we train the next day. But we've never had a team score 110 goals. We could score goals. And as you saw, we score an Olympic goal, corner kick, semi in the final of regions. Obviously we found that goal that we were looking for with Riverside. And then we score that tremendous shot from Francisco Marquez in the final. Those are great goals.
Yeah.
We could score goals this year. That was definitely the difference.
Yeah. Well, that's a heck of a combination when you factor it in with a historic stingy defense as well. Right, coach. So, hence why you ended up here.
Interesting statistic. There are only two teams in the history of boys UIL that have gone the length of the UIL playoffs, won the championship and conceded zero goals. And both of those teams are San Eli teams. One of them was, it was 2019, and the other one was just happened. Yeah. Zero goals conceded in the playoffs. I mean, and these are against great teams.
Right. Yeah. So, and I was there. I was, I wasn't there to watch you all win it in 2019 because it was on a different day. But I do remember because that was the same year that another El Paso area school won it, right, in Bel Air. So my alma mater. So, yeah, I do remember that team. Very, very special team as well. So, Steven, coach, I'll ask you both the same question as I asked Salina is, do you recall a definitive moment somewhere in this season, somewhere in the state playoffs, right? Not necessarily the state tournament, where you saw the validation of you had the confirmation that, hey, this could be the year. This could be the special year, the special team that goes all the way and wins it all.
Our locker room in August, when I looked around the locker room in August, I saw more talent. I was looking at more talent than I'd ever seen at any moment in my career. And we knew that that's only part of the equation, right? And that's just crazy when you talk about the games we've won, the teams we've had. I was just looking at an amazing amount of talent. We knew we could do it. We had some things to go through before we could get the job done. And I think that game was the Castleberry game. We went through some things. We paid the price. We almost paid the ultimate price, but we paid the price in the Riverside game and we didn't look back. I think it was the Riverside game, getting through that, getting over the Castleberry, that where we kind of knew. And I was a little worried. I didn't know about Bernie. You know, Bernie's just amazing. I was concerned. And but boy, we matched up well. We matched up well in that game too. So, but we knew Bernie was waiting.
Yeah,
that's where I got my validation. I knew we could do it. It was just, were we going to do the work? Were we going to do the work? Were we going to stay disciplined and focused? What do you think, Steve?
you know what, having, oh, I mean, I looking to your left and your right and seeing all those players that have been in the Surf Cup and the Dallas Cup and all these cups and select teams and being scouted by professionals, it almost makes you – it brings a lot of confidence to you. And then once you see them train as hard as they do, it just helps it even more. I would think the moment that really defined it for me, it was really late into the playoffs, and it's Navasota. Just the team have so much character. And that penalty, once we all went to the corner flag and celebrating, I just think it was so emotional that we finally made it to the state final and we could actually bring it home this time.
Yeah, it was late. It really was. This whole season was crazy because, like I mentioned earlier, we never got our team on the field. You know, I don't know if people don't know, but, you know, we had a kid in a hospital getting surgery on a hernia. We're not going to say any names here, but we had hospitalizations. We had ACL issues. Fractures. We had stress fractures. We had guys, one of our Texas players of the year strained his hamstring in early March. And we knew that it was going to be so close to getting him back or just not getting him back.
Yeah.
And it was going to be a matter of like, he's almost ready or he's ready, but it wasn't going to be like, oh yeah, he's done with that injury. No, hamstrings are crazy. When you go down with a hamstring, you're looking at 4 to 6 weeks and you're talking about massive physical therapy. So you start dealing with the training room and the physio and the discipline of the kid getting into therapy every day. Right. I love hearing that Salina player talking about how important her physical therapist was. Mm-hmm. I thought she was talking about her, you know, maybe her psychologist, because that's my therapist that's important. But but these kids, they have to utilize sports medicine. Mm-hmm. If we don't,
oh yeah.
We don't do sports medicine, we don't do championships. That's why our athletic trainers get championship rings. They don't Absolutely. Pay for them. They just get them because we don't win without our trainers. So we had so many injuries. I mean, we had the stress fracture. Then we have, you know, I'll mention one guy, Angel Valdez. You know, he was an all-state midfielder his sophomore year. And last year, he gets kicked in the playoffs. Just kicked. I mean, I'm not going to mischaracterize it. He just gets kicked. And a pretty dirty situation, and it ended his season. And I see a lot of tears. I've seen a lot of tears as a coach. And I saw tears because that kid wasn't going to be able to play. And we'd walk to the bus and, you know, he obviously traveled with us and he walked out for the Final Four against Hidalgo and in his shoes because he wasn't going to play. And he's still dealing with that injury for half a year. We finally got that resolved and he gets kicked in the second round of the playoffs again. And he's got an ankle and he played in pain. He was, and I saw the tears again and he was just sure that it was a nightmare all over again. He played. He limped through his warmups and he played every game. And, you know, we pulled him out as soon as the games were decided, you know, all right, Angel, that's enough. And we'd pull him off and we'd get him his therapy. But that kid played in pain through the final. Mm-hmm. And that's just amazing and it was just pure character, pure character. He earned his All-State. He earned his All-State award, his tournament team. Great kid, great character. But when kids play in pain, you know, he wasn't going to miss out. They're demonstrating that character.
Yeah. Well, and not only the character that's displayed by that individual, right? But Stephen, you can attest to this, right? Is the message that sends that can be pretty inspirational to the rest of your teammates, right? And it provides that extra oomph, that extra juice, right? That's needed when you're in those tough matches, such as that final versus, whether it's that semifinal versus Navasota or that, you know, that final versus Bernie. Rafa, you got anything else before we start wrapping up here with these gentlemen?
Well, Coach mentioned about, you know, defense, you know, the old saying defense wins championships. How do you prepare that that defense of for your team? Like, what do you love working on, and how do the players buy into that to that lockdown defense?
So, you know, I can claim to have trained most of my athletes, but I'm not going to lay any claim to the ability level or the skill level of Matthew Hernandez or Marco Legarda. Those guys come prepackaged. I mean, we get them out of the box and they're ready to go. The only thing that we're trying to do is make sure that they're training. You know, they're getting an adequate amount of agility work done, enough upper body so they can take the hits. And then, of course, we're fine-tuning their touch and their technique and their ball control. The movements of defense. Really, defense is the easiest part of soccer. It really is. It's so much easier to destroy things than it is to create things. Soccer is a defensive sport, right? But those two guys come prepackaged. Their ability to just communicate with one another and to play off of each other, their movements are very, very fundamental and basic and sound. We don't do a lot. We do work on some 1v1 and 2v1 just to make sure that they're covering each other, you know, pressure and cover and this and that. But, man, I'm not going to say that there was any kind of particular training this year that was spectacular, because that was our Achilles heel, really, was just getting enough healthy guys to have good training sessions. Mm-hmm. I can't say. No, there's we do a lot of possession. We do a lot of rondos, a lot. Obviously we're a rondo team. We do rondos and we do patterns, offensive patterns, underlaps and overlaps, and lots of 1v1, lots of curver. I love curver. But I just try to make sure I'm blessed with a lot of skilled players. And that's not on me. That's on their club coaches. That's on the fact their dad's got them in soccer really young, or maybe I did, not so much this team, but in the past I've gotten my own kids involved, you know, like very young groups of cohorts and of elementary age. We've got one coming up here in a couple of years. Look out, because wow, they're super good. And but those are the things we do, and you've seen us play, so you kind of know. I would have liked to have spent more time in front of the goal this year, but, you know, maybe would have missed fewer goals, but we were scoring plenty. So,
we
scored enough. We scored one, right? We scored the one we needed.
Yeah, right. And taking away from nothing against, I mean, that was just a classic final in terms of the two teams I felt were the best all year to begin with. So, and Bernie and Coach Strong's program there, you know, three state titles versus three state titles, both teams going for number four, Bernie's final year in 4A as well. And yeah, it's just great matchup, great final. Congratulations, Coach. Congratulations, Steven, to you and your teammates as well. One thing, you know, you're talking about defending, you're talking about defense, Coach, and I've been dropping this quote a lot lately, but one of the best things one of my mentors ever told me that's really stood with me is when it comes to our game, right, scoring is the hardest thing to do in our game, but defending is the hardest thing to want to do in our game. And that has stayed with me to this day, because it's so much of skill versus will. And you know, you go back to the days, even when I, you know, when I lived and played in Italy, and back then, you remember the Italian teams of old, right? If they got one goal on you, if they got one goal on you, that's it. It's a wrap. That's all they needed, right? That's all they needed, right?
And it was all about organization, right? Defense is
correct.
At the very principal level, it's you win with organization. So when we're playing our games, because we don't have big practices either. We don't have a big, big program. So Coral High School, you know, I've heard Alex tell me, you know, I have 240 kids on tryout day. You know, we never cut anybody. You know, sometimes we don't have enough guys in practice to play full field. We share a field with the girls, but we use our games. We use our games to just verify the organization of the defense. Are they moving correctly? Are they shifting? Are they playing together? Are they disordered? And so we work on that constantly throughout the year. But organization, defensive organization wins games. And of course, TPW, tough people win. And defenders are tough, right? Our defenders are tough. We're probably going to lose both of them. One's a sophomore and one's a junior, but we don't think we're holding on to them. And I know my district opponents and some people around the state are just going to be like, because I'm losing Steve because he's a senior. Now, that's right. The normal way you lose a player, right?
Correct.
But in soccer, a lot of people don't understand that teams like Palestine and now San Eli and I know Bernie's probably, I mean, everybody's dealing with the same problem. I thought we were a little bit isolated, but no, the Locomotives will come out and take a player. And suddenly, you know, you've got adults whispering in their ears, telling them how they need to go get seen somewhere. And, and you'll lose a high school player. So we've lost players. And I feel like we're going to lose these two defenders because they're just so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on one hand, I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm sure as you said, your district opponents, they'll appreciate
that. They're thrilled. And I'm happy to start again too. I enjoy coaching. When you got talent like this, it's a lot of management. You're managing.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoy coaching. This is going to be more of some of the earlier years of San Eli. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we won championships with less talent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're still going for it. The thing I remind myself that the kids in front of me, most of them have not won a championship, and it doesn't matter. Okay. So I've got this many or that many or whatever. And how does it feel to have that many? Well, it's like, I don't really worry about that. Steve got his one. That was the most important championship for me. So it's Steve and his teammates, they got their one. And that's what we're shooting for. So that'll be the next one. It's like, there's kids coming into this school. They need to win their one. And that's what I'm there for.
Absolutely. So
we're going to start building it up again.
Absolutely. And make no mistake about it. I've been on the record, Rafa knows a pretty good bit in terms of the programs out in El Paso as well. In addition to what I share with them and our, you know, the rest of the 50-50 podcast team is, you know, make no mistake about it, is just what is going to be now two districts out there in 4A out in El Paso. I mean, quality soccer.
I was not aware of this.
Right.
Are they splitting the two districts?
Yeah. So my understanding, if I'm recalling this correctly, Rafa, check me on that. I think it will be two districts now in 4A in this next alignment, if I'm not mistaken.
Because we saw an alignment that had 11.
That's crazy.
11 4A teams.
And yeah, there's still 11.
Are they putting all 11 in one?
Yeah. So District 1 has Clint, Mountain View, El Paso, Austin, Bowie, Harmony, Irvin, Riverside, Isleta, Fabian, San Eli, and Idea, Mesa Hills, College Prep.
Okay. So when they came out with the updated version then, right, which was more specific to 4A, right, because 6A and 5A were basically fall in line with basketball and volleyball. So, okay. So they did keep you guys together then. Okay.
And we're in favor of that. We may not be able to play everybody twice a year. We're hoping they don't split it, because if they split it, there's going to be a significant difference between the quality of the two districts.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Knowing how athletic directors think and superintendents think, they're going to split it geographically. And one's going to argue that the district that has San Eli is weak, right? But I want to play Riverside and Bowie every year. Right. I want to play. These guys are gunning for us, and they're making us better. And I know Fabens will eventually be very good, just like San Eli was at the bottom at one point. And I know Clint will eventually be good. Yeah. But right now, the next three teams are from the other side of town, and we want to play these guys.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Fabens is only, what are they, year three? I think this was
year three. Two. This was year two. They won some games, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They won a couple games.
Great stuff. So as we wrap up here, Coach Steven, final thoughts, shout outs, thank yous, anything you want to share, stoppage time, the floor is yours. Steven, we'll start with you.
I would say thank you to my therapist, my physical therapist. I mean, going through surgery, having to really pinch meniscus, even torn. It was about 5 months of therapy, going with my sister, having her ACL, having torn ACL, torn meniscus. We went at the same time. We prepared and we trained together. And for us to play at the end of the season, going into the playoffs, my dad, my mom, the fans behind us, and my teammates, and Max especially, for having for giving us so much support, and even financially supporting us.
I don't know about that stuff. Just because I bought you gloves, son. Just because I bought you gloves. That's kind of my job, really. But I would thank our athletic director, our district, very generous. We want for nothing. You know, this travel is very expensive. You know, putting 30 people on the road, it's very expensive, and they never balk. They're always there, and they're there at the end, and they always are. It's been a great place to work. You know, people thought I was nuts to come out to San Eli where they weren't even winning twice in a season, let alone winning championships. But I knew what I was looking at. The characters out here. I thank the community. The community is just a community of character, a community of resiliency, a community of strength, you know. And this is an immigrant community, some multi-generational, but still at its heart, it's an immigrant community. It's a tough community. These are strong people, and we love their kids, and their kids are tough, and tough people win. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Thank you, San Eli.
Love that. Great stuff. Great stuff. Again, Coach Stephen, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations to the 2023-2024 4A Boy State Champions, the San Elizario Eagles. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Pretty good, doesn't it, Steve?
It feels great. Now it feels good.
It feels good.
Relaxed.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here. And physical therapists getting a lot of love on tonight's show, man. So what's going on there? So I love that. Great stuff. And again, Stephen, Coach, thank you for joining us. Have a great night.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, man. Another one in the books. Thoughts?
Just, you know, talking to two great programs, opposite sides of the state, like one from the northern part, one from far west, and, you know, like I said, 9, 10 hours apart, but, you know, just rich in tradition 10, as far as
probably pushing 11.
But rich in tradition as far as soccer, very passionate. And the great thing is both the communities have actually embraced both of them, and they really have the, you can tell that the communities really support them, and the administration, the schools, and it's just, you know, great stories to hear, and, you know, hear the adversity from the, you know, from the players and from the coaches too, to how they built these programs and, you know, to get this far and have these accomplishments and be proud of it, you know, be really proud of what they've done. And like I said, you know, San Eli's already got their fourth title. Mm-hmm. Salinas, I got their three. Maybe they'll get their fourth next year. Or, you know, Coach Adams. Yeah. I was going to refer Coach Adams as the Zinedine Zidane. He can relate to him winning straight.
He's going to start running out of fingers soon. But I couldn't agree more. Yeah, absolutely. Very. You know, I love having these episodes, right? These champions episodes, just because, you know, we get to talk more with some of the players, highlight some of the players. But the reality of it is I love to see just how humble, you know, our student athletes are. And they just constantly reference their teammates because they get, and this is, and make no mistake about it, that's why they are championship programs, right? Because they're just, they understand team on top of the talent and everything. But you see a certain level of humility. And you see something in the culture where it's just couldn't have done it without my teammates. Shout out to my teammates. Lots of that. So congratulations to both Salina and Sanelli, our 4A girls and 4A boys state champions. Thank you to them. Congratulations to them and their communities. So Rafa, let's wrap up, man. Stoppage time. Let's get out of here. What do you got?
Just want to congratulate you again for the Tasco Award. Like I said, it's real deserving, and hopefully some more. for the next few years. And just final thoughts here. Now that the dust has settled, when we have our state champions, you know, hearing these great stories, you know, now we start that, you know, the next season, you know, the preparation, and I know teams are already looking forward to the next season. We already had realignment. We were saying, like I mentioned, about those district changes. You know, what are the, you know, I'm sure now teams are starting to look, okay, what do I have coming back? Who am I facing? You know, there's some teams, like you mentioned, Bernie's moving up to 5A. How's that going to affect them, you know, next year? You know, they're going into a real tough district. You know, San Eli's got, you know, not going to be in an 11-team district. And coach is kind of concerned, are they going to split us? Are we going to play one, you know, one straight through? Or or maybe they do something like at Taps, they'll play one round.
And that was my bad. I actually thought that they had split them for some reason. I thought I had seen that.
No, but they actually
When they came up with the update, I forgot that they kept them together. Yeah.
Yeah, they just actually, 4A, they just updated it, I think, Friday. So you're starting to see some teams kind of pop up, some of the newer programs. And then that comes to question, too, like when we had on the last episode, in one of the episodes during the state championships, you know, is 3A going to be a reality now because of these teams? You know, some, especially when he mentioned about some of these charter schools, you know, really, you know, they maybe have to be at the 3A level, you know, to kind of, and then make, and then work their way up and
work their way up.
And work their way up and to get into the five-star student population.
And some of that is going to depend on, right. We talked about both what, you know, what Coach Shipman, president of TASCO, mentioned on here not too long ago about the possibility of this. Something we're going to get a lot of answers coming out of Austin this June, right? In terms of, are they going to go big school, small school, Division One, Division Two, or you know, does, if we do that, does that stop any talk of 3A? And then on the other side of that, we see what Coach Upton and his committee, for lack of better words, what they're doing, right, in terms of support for a 3A division as well. I mean, it's a lot of, it's interesting because it shows, it speaks to the growth. But if we see that big school, small school, Division One, Division Two format, that will probably, you know, as we mentioned in one of our earlier posts a few days ago, that will probably be the biggest shakeup, the biggest change in our sport in Texas high school soccer since, you know, the introduction of 6A. Right. So, and we are now in the 10-year anniversary of that. So I'm sorry, go ahead, Rafa.
No, I was going to say, you know, that's what it kind of affected with football. You know, they have the D1, D2 for all the classifications. I think this would be the first sport besides football to go D1, D2. Cause you know, you have basketball, you have volleyball, baseball, softball. You don't have them in Division 1 or Division 2. They go straight, the one champion for each division, you know, for each classification. So,
well, I am kind of curious if UIL made that decision. I would venture to believe or speculate, I guess, that they wouldn't just make that decision with soccer in mind. I would imagine we would maybe see that with basketball in mind, volleyball in mind. I don't know about the spring sports, baseball, softball. I'm not sure because those go so late into the year. I don't know what that would look like, but yeah.
I think a lot of this especially for soccer makes, what would make more sense is adding a 3A. I think the Division 1, Division 2, I think it just complicates a lot of things. And then also the travel, because now you're really going to have to play around as far as, some teams may end up playing district games a lot further than they normally do. And I think if you take out some of these 3A teams, I mean, granted, if you take a team, for example, like a Midland Greenwood, let's say they go D1, you know, they probably have to travel all the way to maybe Amarillo for a game, you know, and, you know, you do that during the week may cause some issues. So I think they do have to go to the open to 3 out. Now, the other big question is, are they going to create 7A? So if it becomes 7A, you know, does everyone push up to, like I said, does the 3A now become the 4A? So, but I think we do need a fourth division in soccer, you know, for the smaller schools, and let them kind of, like I said, you're seeing teams now, you know, that we've seen, and I'm seeing them on, like I said, especially on the 4A, if you look at the 4A, you know, alignments, there are teams class 3A or class 2A teams. I saw a 1A team playing soccer.
Yeah. You know, and the issue, me personally, this is me speaking for just me, right, is I get the feeling that the issue with 7A is potentially the same issue as 3A, is that the concern that there may not be enough, right? that there may not be enough yet. And we don't know what it 2 years from now, what that will look like. But at this current rate, I'm kind of curious if UIL is thinking is that the concern is there may not be enough for whether going one direction or the other, whether it's 7A going up or 3A going down. I'm guessing that is the real concern in either direction, right? But I don't think we'll obviously not see both a 7A and a 3A, right? Because we'll see one or the other if they go that route. But I think that is the ultimate concern.
Yeah, and especially with the population, you know, more going into the suburbs. And if you look at like Ken mentioned about, you know, how far away Salina, you know, Salina may be coming to 5 in the next realignment, you know. So you're starting to see added, you know, other teams like, you know, like Frisco Panther Creek just opened up. Who's to say next 2 years they're not a 5A or even a 6A, you know, like here in our backyard, Medina Valley is now a 6A. It's going to be a 6A. So I think the UIL, I know they do a good job, you know, putting the right pieces together as far as the districts and so forth. But it is becoming a challenge now that people are moving more away from the rural areas and going into, you know, to the suburbs. And so it's going to be a challenge for those rural schools to, you know, to especially the travel to play teams within a close proximity of them.
Yeah. Great stuff. And any more final thoughts? Is that it? Yeah.
Just that, and just looking forward to.
I know we got sidetracked a little. That's why I'm asking. Sorry.
Yeah, just looking forward to the weekend. I guess another SAC game, but I'm real happy that we got the Clásico. I know the president is a little whining about health. I mean, paying off the rest for 10 years kind of was a little karma for him, I guess.
Yeah, our Real had a week, man, beating Man City and Barca, right? Champions League, advancing in the Champions League to the semifinals and winning the Clásico in the same week. Pretty awesome. And then not so great for my Liverpool today. Very unfortunate, but not surprised, because they have just not, they haven't looked right in probably the last, I'd say, 3 weeks to a month. They just have not looked right. And very unfortunate there. But, and you know, my final thoughts, going to try to make this quick, is those of you that, you know, the ones that really know me, they know that, yeah, I joke around a lot. I kid around. I'm a prankster, right? When talking about myself. But the reality of it is, the actual truth is, I stink at talking about myself. I really do, and very uncomfortable about it. But just in terms of the recognition from the Tasco Sports Journalists of the Year, very grateful to them. Thankful, completely caught me off guard after being away from my phone and everything for a couple of hours, just running around doing a lot of things today at work. And next thing I know, I'm seeing all these things and still haven't had a chance to really play catch up, but saw a lot of thank yous as well that went out to the podcast and to myself. But I will tell you this, is I share that, you know, my name may be on it, but the reality of it is, it's the podcast name that's on it. The podcast team, from you, Rafa, to Steve, to Harry, who we just, you know, in spite of all his Real Madrid bashing, you know, we still like him. We tolerate him. And then, you know, my wife, who just is such a big supporter behind the scenes, does a lot as part of our podcast team, believe it or not. And, you know, just my leadership at MacArthur, San Antonio MacArthur, just in terms of supporting me in doing this and what we're trying, they get it, right? And supporting me in terms of supporting the podcast, in terms of what we're trying to do for the game. And just grateful for that, and really humbled to be a part of, just mentioned with some of those other individuals on there, those sports journalists. So awesome, so cool. But I think this is an award way beyond just me. So thank you for that. And thank you for the many thank yous. I appreciate that as well. Humbling for sure. But last thing I'll say on that is, I think the reality of it is this is such a, you know, when you're passionate about something, I heard the other day, I wrote this down, right, when I was at the UCA meeting, actually, right? So former mayor of San Antonio, Ed Garza, talking about it, he said, you know, when passion plus compassion equals purpose, right? And that's how I feel about being able to do this, being able to share this, being able to have programs on here, you know, and have a champions episode and have programs on here like Selena and Sonelli, and just be a part of this. The best thing I can equate it, the best thing I can say is I've had the best seat in the house, you know, for the last 3.5 years, and being able to tell these stories, being able to grow our sport, grow our game, and just seeing, having these conversations that I have with coaches around the state are inspiring. You know, they give me, they're just, I wish I could put it in a bottle and sell it, because it is, you know, the conversations I have with coaches and what they share, and a lot of it off the record too. And I really, I value their trust in me, I value their trust in the podcast and the podcast team. More than anything, just the stories of what they're doing day in and day out in their respective communities. It's inspiring. And for a lot of our coaches out there, for a lot of our student athletes, but specifically the coaches, just because whether you won a state title or just because you didn't win a state title, maybe you came up short, maybe you didn't even make the playoffs, but you have to see the good in what we're doing, what we stand for in our programs, in our communities. And you are oftentimes the difference between a student athlete making it and not making it. And I'm not talking about on a team, not on a roster, not in a game, but in life. And I think that's where purpose comes in, right? So passion and compassion equaling that purpose. So all of that to say, thank you. Thank you to so many people. Thank you to, you know, to Tasco, most of all, Tasco board, really humbled, really appreciate you all. And to just be a small part of it and being able to tell that Tasco story as well is awesome. So thank you. Really, thank you. Rafa, that'll do it, man. Let's get out of here. So to all our listeners, again, you know where to find us. You go, if you don't know where we are, find us on Twix, as I call it, Twitter X, at 50_50pod, on Instagram at 50_50podcast, as well as on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. You can also find us on wherever you listen to your podcast, your audio podcast, right? All major podcast platforms, wherever you listen, you can find us there. Please go on there. Give us a rating, you know, like, rate, subscribe on YouTube, trying to grow that YouTube channel as well. But the actual, whether you listen on Apple Podcasts, whether you listen on Spotify, go on there and give us a rating. As I often say, if you think we're good, you know, tell us we're good. If you think we stink, complain to who's in charge of complaint department? Harry, right? Complain to Harry. I know he'll love that one.
Newcastle fans, I'll tell you.
Bottom line is thank you. It's just loving being able to do this. I'm grateful for it. Thank you so much. So let's get out of here. So you know what to do. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening. You've been listening to the 50/50 Podcast, powered by the 50/50 Podcast Network. Help us continue to grow by liking, rating, and subscribing on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to follow us on X at 50_50pod, on Instagram at 50_50podcast, as well as on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.